Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
Hey, happy Bills busting day.
I saw a knockout last night. That was huge.
Are they a bunch of baby? We should start calling them baby Bills.
Another dumb Bills decision.
Oh my God, Josh Allen, the whole team, every play, all they do is cry.
We just dismantled them, man. What is Buffalo going to do?
I think this game was obviously a huge win, but also put the league on notice that they are the most physically dominant football team in the league.
And now they got to go to Tampa to play the guy who's on the field owned them for 20 years.
Bill Belichick. Game yesterday was his Larry Bird left-handed game.
Bills Mafia, you are clown.
McDermott cried all after the game, throwing his team under the bus.
Go Patriots, let's go, boys.
Yeah, boys. Buffalo. Bills Mafia getting after us on Twitter. You know, I clapped back a little bit last night on them, and it was, oh, we're the only thing on your timeline, please.
No, they were very animated all last week. They were all fired up about the whole thing. They couldn't believe we're even comparing the two teams and the two quarterbacks and everything else. I just hope that all of Bills Mafia was able to enjoy the 2020 interim AFC East title, because that's all that it was. That's all that it appears to be.
They're the opt-out champions.
They are. Way to go. You won the COVID year. You didn't even win the whole thing. It's not even you didn't win the Super Bowl. You didn't make the Super Bowl. But you had a nice season. You had a really nice season when the Patriots were resetting things, and they took 1 year to turn things around. As we said in Keefe's Keys, from Jim Kelly to Josh Allen, there was only 18 different starting quarterbacks in there. From Tom Brady to Mac Jones, there was one.
Only 18. Pretty amazing.
That's it. And I'm not even saying Mac Jones is all pro. I'm just saying he's your guy. Like, you know he's your guy. Didn't have to do much last night, but that was the game plan. And they just decided to run the ball and then run the ball. And then they were going to run the ball a little bit more. And then they were going to run the ball some more. And then they were going to get stops on defense and call it a game. Pretty good.
And the Patriots have now pushed the Buffalo Bills into, I think, starting to crack, maybe fracture a little bit. We got some stuff from Sean McDermott. Although, quickly, Shimey, I'm out of Buffalo Bills. I'm out of Bills Mafia tears, please.
Oh, you need another batch
of
tears?
So we get a little refill of the, so let's start.
Should be plentiful.
Let's start mixing in more
I'll
of this.
I'll call up Sal. He can send some more.
Oh, yeah.
Is Sal awake yet?
That's right.
Is Sal still sleeping in from post game? Oh, my God. Can you imagine doing post game?
Let's go check in with @SalGroggy.
Sal's taking a snooze.
Yeah, @SalMissPlayoffs, @SalGroggy. Mm-hmm. All of it, our friends in Buffalo, they were devastated today, and good.
They're having a tough go of it.
Good. And stuff your feelings in a sack and dump them in a river for all we care, because you're jackass Bills fans. That's what, you know what this is? I'm sure that there's some, like, Chucky No Thumbs up there in Buffalo who's, like, running real hard in place before the game with his headband on to this, getting all fired up when he can listen to Sal and Prickly Pete or whatever his name is out there.
So last night,
you're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
That's a real show. So the Patriots took the division from the Bills last night.
It's the lost kid of the $1 million man. Sorry.
And in 3 weeks, I think they might take the playoffs from them, too. I think it's a reality with how congested the AFC is. The Bills have a massive game next week against the Bucs. Then in a couple of weeks, they play the Patriots in New England. Bills could miss the play, go from 13-3 and knock it on the door of a Super Bowl to following that up with a missed playoffs season.
And a part of it is from what Sean McDermott said last night. We will get to that coming up in mere moments. 105 Gresham Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. 617-779-7937, wherever you are listening to us across the New England region. It is a day to rejoice. Sean McDermott cracks in the armor. So he said some stuff after the game, including some things directed to Bill Belichick that we will give to you. But as the lines start to jump, don't get shut out. Let's go to Luke in East Greenwich. Final hour, Gresham Keefe. What's up, Luke?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Luke.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, what's up?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. We're great. So are the Patriots. Go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Really good. I'm delighted they won, but I was frustrated during the game because I do not understand, because that game could have gone either way. I do not understand in the second quarter and in the fourth quarter, with the wind to their back, in numerous passing situations, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 4, they would not throw the ball. Had the game gone the other way, which very easily could have gone the other way, I think there'd be a lot more criticism on how conservative they played. I do not understand, with the wind to the back in those situations, why they didn't throw the ball.
I think it's twofold. Number one, they didn't feel they had to.
Right.
And even when the Bills had the wind, we started to hear about throwing the ball to the left side of the field versus the right, because even when you kick towards the one end, you could see it was almost like you were, if you're a golfer and you have the ability to hit a fade, it was almost like you were kicking and hitting fade shots. So I don't know exactly whether how much it was like end zone to end zone, sideline to sideline. But I think at the end of the day, Bill Belichick felt, why do we need to stop doing what we're doing? Because they're the nail and we're hammering them.
But I'm not even putting down the collar at all, but I'm saying it's such a results business. So to say if they lost, we'd criticize them more, correct. But they won. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things like, okay, they did win. So what they were able to do offensively, they just decided, and they had the lead from Jump Street. Right. So once they had the lead, and I think they also knew what their defense was capable of, combined with what the Bills' offense honestly might have been capable of in that weather as well. So they felt, even in some of those situations, they would rather bleed another 30, 40 seconds off the clock mm-hmm. than have a chance at maybe a 5 to 10 yard pass with the risk of an incompletion. And now if you gave the Bills even more time on the clock, what that would look like. Because I thought the same thing. I mean, I thought the same thing as the caller. Late in the game, not even second quarter, but more fourth quarter, I was like, man, you could probably, after 30 consecutive running plays, drop in a little play action and kind of see what happens. But they just stuck with it. They stuck with it. But every time you looked up, they would run another play, and another 35 seconds was off the clock. And you're like, all right, this is just how they're going to do it. And then they felt more than confident in putting the ball or putting the game in their defense's hands. Because, mm-hmm. again, look at the 10 points that the Bills scored. It was off a N'Keal Harry miscue on a punt, which I also blame Bill Belichick for even having him back there for. But that gives them the ball on the 14. They score on the next play. And then the Patriots probably would have had another stop, but it was a dumb personal foul call on Bryant hitting Josh Allen, who was not out of bounds yet. He was off his feet. Even the ref in the booth was like, yeah, that's a bad call. So that gave them a first down and an extra 15 yards, and that's how they got their field goal. So, I mean, the defense essentially pitched a shutout. So I think just running the ball the way that they did was the right game plan. They got the result they wanted.
And let's get back to kind of where we started today, which was, A, we were, I mean, just giddy because that was a great win. But you also snatched something from the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
They were embarrassed last night. There's no other way to put it. Mm-hmm. And I know that there was the question to the two safeties from the Bills last night where the word embarrassed was used. But just look in the second half of that game as the pressure mounted. Look at how Sean McDermott reacted. Look at how the players reacted, especially after the game. They really, truly thought in their heart of hearts, they were better than the New England Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
And this was the Lonely Hearts Club, right. The Broken Hearts Club, all wrapped up into one, because those players, this devastated them. That reaction after the game was alarming if you're a Bills fan, because it went from gee, we think we're the bee's knees, to now everybody looking around and pointing some fingers, including the head coach.
I mean, you could make an argument that they had one of the two or three best quarterbacks in football the way that he's playing this year. So you have him, you're at home, and going into the game, you have the number two ranked offense and the number two ranked defense. And you just got pushed around by the Patriots. It's as simple as that.
And do style points matter? Like, that's the part of this that
they
gets
don't.
Me.
No.
Is that I think it's the, to me, that's the Madden generation. And I know I'm on the fringe of it, but it's the, yeah. Well, if you don't win by 30, you know. I mean, we were even talking about in the off-air show on the whole, like, McDermott got pantsed last night in midfield. He got bare-bottom spanked by Bill Belichick, but some are going to be, well, you only won by four.
Well, as a side topic, it's people, and I know this is a Pats show, but it's why people aren't all that crazy about the Chiefs, because the Chiefs are winning, but they used to beat teams with highlight plays and blowouts and 50 points a game. They're not doing that. They're still winning, but people don't want to give them credit. And you're like, well, isn't the whole point of the game just to win no matter how you do it? And so I think people are eventually going to get back on the Chiefs bandwagon. But the Patriots now, they've won in a variety of ways. Now, last night was the most extreme way possible. But
we
the
may
weather,
never
think,
see no. what happened last night. We, no. we may not see that again for another decade, if
no.
not two.
Three pass attempts or less in the Super Bowl era has happened three times. The Patriots and one team, I think it was the Chiefs in 1968 and the Bills in 1974.
The last time it happened was 74.
Right. So that is a long-ass time ago. So, yeah, it's not going to happen. The way the game is played now, it's just, no, that's insane to think that you would beat a team that way. It's funny. You mentioned Madden and talking about how the Bills are all upset. If you played your buddy in Madden and all you did was run off tackle with the same formation and you won the game that way, you're talking about a fight is going to break out. You're
broken
smashing controllers. TV screens.
I actually did that once.
And they did that in real life. This is what they did last night. They straight up did that in real life. They're like, we're going to run the same two plays. It doesn't really matter. You can't stop it.
So Sean McDermott, the Bills coach after the game, who was all red-faced during the game.
He was an angry elf last night. He was a South Pole elf.
Oh, it was so great. So after the game, Sean McDermott just did not add to the legend of Bill Belichick whatsoever. In fact, he was saying, stop the presses on the BB love.
Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us. But you sit here and you tell me when we start with the average starting field position of the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, kind of rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they're 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. So it's not, I don't think, with all due respect, it's not a Bill Belichick type thing. It's what are you doing with the opportunities you got? What are you doing with the opportunities you got? We turn the ball over at the plus 30-some yard line. Sloppy football.
Yeah, the numbers that you're reciting aren't helping your case. You actually sound like more of an idiot and a worse coach by saying, like, is he taking credit for the field position?
Really, stats are for losers.
But then he has no responsibility with the opportunity after that? Like, it sounds like he's like, well, we had better starting field position than they did, so I'm a better coach than him. But then the opportunities after that, but then we couldn't do anything, and we knew that they were running the same play over and over again, but we couldn't stop them in that regard. It's like, it sounds worse, because you're right. You did have the advantages there. The way the weather was playing, especially early, that really short punt by Jake Bailey, the muffed punt by N'Keal Harry, that was not coaching, that part of it. Actually, you know what? The N'Keal Harry thing might have been Belichick coaching. So where were you for the rest of the game to make up for any of those miscues? It was not a good game for him. And I think he knew it, and it's why he was so prickly afterwards.
So do you think that if a team dare tried to say, you know what, we're just going to run on the New England Patriots.
Only run?
Only run on the New England Patriots. That Bill Belichick at some point would have adjusted started to rotate in different players or people or started to do things differently.
I would hope that there would be some adjustment, although somebody would say, what about the Super Bowl against the Eagles? Touche, I would say.
Okay.
Because there was not an adjustment in that game.
I mean, and that's but that's what we're talking about with Sean McDermott, right? With Bill Belichick, you question what he did in a Super Bowl. Rubes like McDermott.
Oh, well, McDermott may not get
it's,
there.
During the regular season and the how did you continue? That's the real question. You're a defensive coordinator, or you were.
He was one of the
best defensive minds in football.
Right.
How come you couldn't figure out a way to stop a football team who walked out on the field and looked at your sideline and said, hi, we're going to run the ball. Just want to let you know. We're going to run it a whole bunch today. We'll see you later. We'll meet you after the game.
I used to think that it was a tell when Sony Michel was in the backfield versus James White, run versus pass. There's never more of a tell than Yakob Johnson, N'Keal Harry, and six offensive linemen. Yep. In the history of football, you know exactly what they're doing. You look at our play call. We'll show you the play call. Like, here's what it is.
That's right.
And they're like, all right, well, what if we got to be prepared for when they don't run it this way? It's like, no, they're running it this way the whole time. Yeah, it was really quite a sight to see.
So McDermott had mentioned sloppy football. We didn't do enough with our chances, right?
Yes.
So Sean McDermott on Brian Daboll and the offense. Listen to this.
Well, I didn't think, honestly, we took advantage of opportunities tonight. I really didn't. I mean, the ball's at the 40-yard line. We're 1-for-4 in the red zone. So we got to figure that part of it out.
So Sean got a couple of stats after the game, and he really wanted to hammer those home. So they had great field position. But then after that, it's out of his hands. He's like, listen, guys, I'm responsible for the field position. You guys handle it from there and the red zone opportunities. Yeah, I don't think it was a good game for McDermott or Daboll. I think they should have just gone all Josh Allen. Like, really, really sink or swim with Josh Allen. Don't mess around handing the ball off to Zach Moss. That's not going to work. Or Devin Singletary. I know Singletary had the one good run. Everything else, terrible. Matt Breida even got in there. Those guys aren't very good. Let Josh Allen, even in those conditions, let him throw it and let him decide when maybe he's going to run it as well, because he was their best running back last night.
And I do think that when you look at whether it's Sean McDermott or Bills coaches of the past who've had issues in matching up against Belichick, you're right. That's the, you know, you have to be who you are. And the only way the Bills are going to score is to kind of turn Josh Allen loose in some way, shape, or form, wind or no wind. And you're right.
That, like, he was their only hope.
The Patriots, always, almost always, I'll even put a little caveat on there, coach to the strengths of their football team.
And also against the weakness of the opponent.
That's right.
Which is a huge factor.
And last night, Sean McDermott did not coach to the strengths of his football team.
Yeah, but they had great field position, Greg.
Well,
so
they did.
Want?
That's right. You know what that feels like? Well, we've been to 3 Eastern Conference Finals in 4 years.
We've won more
so.
Playoff games. No titles, but more games than anybody
Dan
else.
Dan Duquette with we spent more days in first place than anybody in the division.
Great.
That's a great one. That got wore out. That audio really got wore out here at WEEI. Uh-huh. All right, let's get to these phones because we are loaded up. You can't get through. You can get us on Twitter and Instagram. At Gresh Keefe, Derek and Lawrence, you're up. Go ahead, D.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to comment on that last caller. Why would we throw the ball? McDermott wasn't making any adjustments to the run. We were running down their throat the whole game. Why throw the ball? Who cares about the win? You know,
Derek, and I think that's
completely
probably
embarrassed. We just completely embarrassed them. And I think this is something that we're going to be talking about for a very long time.
I think you're
That's
right.
All I got to say.
Thanks, Derek, for the call. And we did our halftime show. We do it every Patriots game at Gresh Keefe on Twitter. And we were talking about how if the Bills scored on their opening possession, and again, they were down 11-7. So if, let's say it was 14-11 second half, would that have put pressure on McDaniels to have Mac Jones throw the ball?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. But it didn't happen.
And Bill Belichick said on the Greg Hill show earlier today that if we had to throw it, we were prepared to do it.
Right.
It was clear choice, very much choice. And I think that's why you also got the reactions on the Patriots sideline, because it was almost like we pulled this off.
It was a little bit of that. Like, we're not going to seriously actually win the whole game doing this, are we? Like, yeah, actually, there's not a lot of time left. We might just kind of hang on to this and it's going to be over.
Let's go to Bob in Gill. Is that right? Bob, you're That's with Gresh and Keefe. Hello, Bob Gill.
All right, Bob.
Yes, it is. It's right. Gill, Massachusetts, out western Mass, you know, where they still have Indians, and we you know, it's west of 495, that's for sure.
All right. All right.
What do you have, Bob? Right.
My buddy and I were watching that game last night, and when he went for two, I think that was the master stroke. Another thing that most coaches wouldn't do, and that changed the scoring. They needed a touchdown from that point on. Field goals were no good.
Well, they would have needed 3 field goals. I get your point, though. I thought that was sort of that just let me, and I think us as the viewer, realize just how crazy the wind was. Because that was the first time it truly affected. You're like, wow, right out of the chute. And it's no surprise. There were 4 kicks made in the entire game. There was two field goals by Falk, a field goal by Bass, and an extra point by Bass, all in the same end. There wasn't a single kick made in the one direction with the wind going crazy.
So it goes to show that both teams were managing it the same way when it came to the kicking game.
Because you could see early first quarter thinking, all right, we want points, 33. He can drill it from 33, right? He's like, nope, that's just how nuts the wind was. So, and again, it played into their entire game plan. They only threw the ball three times. So you knew that that was a massive factor. And, they went for two and they got it. And so now you're right, 8-0, that is sort of a different way to start a game.
It is, and I was a little surprised that when the Bills scored, they kicked the PAT.
I didn't hate it, though, because I normally don't chase two-point conversions. Like, weather aside, I would wait till the fourth quarter to even do it.
That's why, the weather. I thought they would be like, okay. Because even that kick, it was like, okay, what's he going to do? And you watch it, and it goes through, and you're like, okay.
But here's the thing.
But then it's 8-7.
But if they score a touchdown in the second quarter, then they go for two because they're in that wind end. First quarter, I'm taking as many points as I can. Because guess what? At that point, you're probably not thinking the game's going to be 8-7. And so if the Patriots score another touchdown, they go for two again, you stuff them. All right, now you're talking about the game is 14-14.
Yes, right. That's right. Chris in Peabody with Gresh and Keefe. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, you guys might not like this call at all. I love Bill Belichick, but I think last night plays into his ego a little bit, and I think we have to pump the brakes and slow him down. I know it was great. They ran the ball, but the players won that game. The players were out there blocking, running, doing all the right things in that weather. He could have thrown the ball. He should have thrown the ball. And if it didn't work out that way, everybody would have remembered a couple Super Bowls ago where his ego got in the way and he sat Malcolm Butler. Right. He was trying to make a statement, hey, I can do this. It's all about me. Run the ball. It's all about me. We don't need a quarterback. He shouldn't have did that.
Chris, that makes no sense whatsoever. None. And let me just ask you this. Who was calling the
ego.
Who was calling the plays?
He was.
Okay.
McDaniel.
Right. And who said
and the players were out there executing.
Right, they were.
But every game.
Yeah, that's every game. And Chris, you're making it sound like that these players just went out there and decided to run student body left, student body right. There's managing the win, there's managing the time, there's managing the timeouts. The dumb red face guy on the other side's whizzing away timeouts left and right. Belichick manages it differently. He ain't JC. Well, he is the JC of coaches. You might as well fit him for some Birkenstocks.
Yeah, you might.
Compared to other guys. But if your big thing is the Super Bowl a couple years ago and that's your beef to try to, you know, weak-ass tie it in to you disagreeing in strategy when the Patriots went up there and snatched the soul of the Bills, you are really digging in to try to be negative towards Belichick today.
But so I don't understand how after a win you could say they should have thrown it. Why should they have thrown it if they won?
Exactly.
And again,
right.
a couple of the critiques that we've gotten for it, and by no means do I think Belichick is perfect. He shouldn't have had N'Keal Harry back there. That alone was probably his worst decision of the night. You can't say the caller first said they could have thrown it. Okay, that's a debate we can have. Maybe they could have, should have, when they just went in there and won the game. Why? So Mac Jones's stats look a little bit better and Stevenson's look a little bit worse. He won the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really get that. And it's just like, guess what? If they had lost the Super Bowl, or no, let's say they won the Super Bowl against the Eagles and Malcolm Butler didn't play, we could say, well, Malcolm Butler should have played. It's like, yeah, but they won. So you got the result that you wanted. And so in this case, they got the result. So it's hard to say that that was a mistake offensively when they were able to just run it all over them. And they played it right. They even had the ball at the end. They had to kill off some time. So, yeah, I don't know. That's taking a little step too far, probably.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We are loaded on the phones. We're going to continue with the Into 3T. It's about all of us celebrating today, taking the life, snatching the soul from the Buffalo Bills and their fans. 617-779-7937. Here is Scheim. He's ready to trend.
Online or over the air, we don't care.
Cut.
How dare you want more?
Just make us your new midday habit.
Gresh and Keefe.
WEEI.
Have you been watching the show today?
At twitch.tv/Boston. WEEI.
Been tweeting the show?
At Gresh Keefe on Twitter.
Texting the show?
At 37937.
I don't normally turn to the text.
All the ways you interacted with the show today. Now.
On Gresh and Keefe.
So the 3T is about you today. We got a loaded phones at 617-779-7937. Shimey's got some stuff to mix in as well. The 3T, for those of you who don't know, in if you watch the show on Twitch, weei.com/watch takes you right into the Twitch chat. You can put your comments in there. On Twitter and Instagram, at Gresh Keefe, or 37937 via the text. We will mix in some of what you have been saying along the way, but we got a bunch of folks who want to talk about the Patriots, including our friend Ron in New York, who I do believe called on Friday. Ron, you're with Gresh and Keefe. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call, and good afternoon. I got to say, for all these people calling in complaining about how the Patriots won or the play calling and not passing, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that Dick Lombardi from Super Bowl 53 shines as bright as all the others, regardless of whether or not it was a boring game. You know, I don't care how we win. Let's just get the W. And, I mean, I called and I talked to you, Gresh. You were making comments about how Ed Oliver could impact the game and really disrupt things in the middle. They did not mention his name in the broadcast, not once.
Great point.
We own them.
Very good point. Yeah, it seems like they own them as well. And I'm also surprised that we're getting the style points this season with this team. It's one thing when 20 years of dominance, right, and it got to the point where you started grading some of the wins on a curve, because we did just become so accustomed to them going 12-4, going to the AFC Championship at the very minimum. And then so if they lost if they won a close game to a bad team, you were like, well, like, can you read into that at all? Like, that's going to happen when you win so often. But I thought with last year's reset, and with a rookie quarterback and so many young guys, that you would take a win any way you could get it. And again, I think most fans are feeling that way. I think most fans are very satisfied with the win from last night. But we did get a few of those. How come they didn't throw it more? They only won by 4. The Bills had the ball with a chance to, like, all that stuff. I'm like, I'm a little surprised, because the expectation on this team at the beginning of the year was maybe 10-7, maybe a wild card spot, and develop the quarterback. And even at week 6, that's what we were talking about, was develop the quarterback. Is it a develop the quarterback season? 6 weeks ago. And now it's already been, well, they only scored 14 points in a monsoon. Like, well, what?
Like, I'm completely with you.
I'm taking the wins any way you can get them.
You know, and the other part of it, too, is, you know, the Patriots clearly chose to play that way, and we don't know what else they would have unfurled in the fourth quarter if they had to. That's the other piece of this. Even Bill Belichick was joking on the Greg Hill show that, hey, you know, we play him again, we got our whole passing game to
show
him.
Which is pretty
him.
Funny. And it is fascinating. That second matchup is so fascinating, because, like, how are they going to play that? What are the Patriots going to do? They're obviously not going to only throw it 3 times. But if Harris is healthy, they did have a lot of success running the ball, and that's when they knew they were going to run it.
So I would imagine
they run it again a lot.
I'm with you. I think style points at times can be overrated. And again, the biggest thing to come out of yesterday is you go on the road, and if everybody at the beginning of the year thought the Bills are going to win the division and that they were up here in terms of the AFC.
Oh, yeah.
You took not only their lunch money from them, you might have taken their will to fight. And old Fred Thomas, Edward Brady, Patrick Brady Jr. on Sunday might end up finish driving the stake through the Bills' heart.
Could knock him out of the playoffs. Oh, think of that.
Can you imagine?
I can imagine.
That would push people up there over the edge. Losing to the Patriots is one thing. Losing to Brady at another team.
Consecutive weeks like that.
Ooh,
and they have not been a great team. They were 4-1. After their win over Kansas City. That's still their best win of the year. They're 4-1, riding high. It looked like week one was kind of a fluke when they lost to the Steelers.
It did.
Since then, they're a 500 team.
Let's go to Pat in Framingham, Aggression Keith. Hello, Pat.
What's up, Pat?
Hello, Pat. 3-2-1.
All right, so his question was, do you think Mac Jones was disheartened by the, like, play calling?
I would say we'll find out at 2:30 with Maloney and Fourier right here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
But for a rookie quarterback to win a game of Monday Night Football, yes, I'm sure, just human nature, he would have liked to have thrown more. But it's not like it was perfect conditions and they still only let him throw 3 times.
My guess is he's satisfied with the win.
I'm with you. I'm sure there were times at Alabama where he threw for 450, and there are times where he threw for 60. You know, like that team's a wagon, and you get up early, you're just managing. If there's anybody who I would think that would be okay with the managing the game, like the coach says, here's the way we're going to manage this game, and we're not focusing on you today, but you're going to be okay, I think he's good with that.
Here's and again, I don't like the Brady Mac Jones comparisons, but let me just throw one out here anyway, because that's what everybody else does. How do you think 01 Brady would have responded to that versus 2019 Brady?
Vastly different.
Correct. So I think the young Brady, 01, 02, 03 maybe even Brady would have been like, hey, we won. We just beat the Bills. That's awesome. 19 Brady would have been pissed. He would have been over there. He would have been sad Tom Brady in the post game. Like, you just beat the Bills on Monday night. And he would have been like sniffing and snorting and everything else. So I think a rookie Mac Jones, happy with the win.
With you on that. Mike in the car talking about someone who does deserve a little love with Gresh and Keefe. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
The guy that needs a little love this year, and it was unexpected out of left field, is Nick Folk. This guy's been rock solid for this team. Because after Gostkowski left, you know, they said, because we've had good kickers for over 20 years between Vinatieri and Gostkowski, and Folk comes out of nowhere and is having the best year of his career.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad you brought it up, Mike, because he kicked two field goals last night in insane conditions. And I know he was going in the right end, but either, come on, it's still a crazy
game. Both
teams
managed it the same way.
And he had the one where it moved a lot, but he played it right and he got through there. Yeah, I definitely get caught up in recency bias, but I feel more confident in Nick Folk lining up for a field goal than I ever did Stephen Gostkowski. And I know the numbers would tell you Gostkowski's one of the more accurate kickers, even more accurate than Vinatieri. But I always felt Vinatieri is the greatest thing ever, and Vinatieri is going to make every big kick. I feel better about Nick Folk because you remember, even at the end of Gostkowski's career, he would always miss a kick in the playoffs. Always. It might be an extra point, might be a field goal, long field goal, short field goal. Every playoff game, it felt like he left one. He left some points on the board. I feel pretty good about Nick Folk out there.
And you should. Steve in Connecticut with Gresh and Keefe. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, how you guys doing this afternoon? Hey, I just wanted to say you got to really give credit to the coaching staff of the Patriots yesterday. And that Mac Jones, you know, three pass attempts, I just think that the coaches deserve a lot of the credit. You know, Mac Jones doesn't have the, you know, strongest of arms. We all know that. I don't think it was a big confidence thing with his arm. I just think, you know, he's not the guy that can throw the 65, 70-yard bombs down the field. And, you know, the coaches adapted to the weather and the conditions, and that's what they ran with. And I'm just, you know, thankfully that, you know, the running game, you know, the defense of the Bills didn't stop the running game because I don't know what they would have done. You know, maybe I really don't know, but I think the coaching staff needs a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, no, they do. And we've given them a lot of credit. I agree with you. They deserve it. And yeah, I mean, the Bills, it's just they didn't make enough adjustments. They didn't get them off the field enough. And again, because of the way the wind was going, and you saw that first Jake Bailey punt, if they just got even a couple more opportunities with that great field position that they had all night and they couldn't do much with it, but you wondered, could they have broken through just one more time because that's all they needed? And nope, they couldn't. And that's why they allowed 222 yards on the ground, even in a game where the Patriots' starting running back gets hurt and only had 10 carries himself and then had to leave the game with a hamstring injury.
And for those who want to just unnecessarily, I think in this instance, criticize the coaches, they went in with multiple plans, I'm sure. Bill Belichick always does. Or their ability to adapt on the fly after the first quarter is as good as anybody in the league. This was one of the rare times where plan one worked on such a level that you didn't have to roll out any of plan 2, 3, 4, or 5. And that's what makes this amazing. Mm-hmm. That's why this was a great coaching performance as well as a great performance from this team because, yes, the players do go out and execute. But who sets the tone? Who sets the game plan? Who manages the game? It's the guy with the hood on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. And, we have no idea what else they have cooked up for the Bills. And if you're the Bills, that is the real deep-rooted mind screw over the next couple of weeks that we've only seen half of this offense. And in fact, I would dare say if we went back and looked of those 44 carries that went to running backs or whatever it was, I would say that you're pushing 25 to 30% of the exact same play.
Yeah, it's like if you were fighting somebody like boxing or MMA, and you get knocked out in the first round, and then you have a rematch, and you're like, "Well, I didn't really learn much about him. I know he's got a strong right hand, but I don't know anything else. I don't know how his ground game is. I don't know whatever. Like, we didn't see anything else. So yeah, we faced that team, and the game is separated by less than a month, but the Pats offense could look completely different.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you for your 3T submissions. I know we've been blowing out the phones because everybody is reacting to the great Patriots win last night up in Buffalo. We've shelved them. We might get to them a little bit later on. You never know. Maybe there'll be a day where we can roll those things out. But you got something. Brings it home on this Patriots Tuesday next.
Make sure to keep Gresh and Keefe a part of your routine.
All right, now let's get back to Magnum Dom.
And if you miss a show, download the podcast at WEEI.com.
Time for You Got Something, sponsored by Unified Office. If you run restaurants, don't lose football takeout orders or reservations due to customers getting busy signals or being stuck on hold. Get the solution at unifiedoffice.com. Well, guess what? 774 on the text said, "Damn, man, I had a great T3 text today." Well,
good news for you.
We're going to cede our time.
Let's do it.
To Chris Scheim for a little mini 3T to get in everything that you've been saying today.
Well, he claims he had a great text, so let us be the judge of that, gentlemen. From the 774, yesterday I heard Josh Allen was going to come to the arena, so today he's the captain of the Buffalo Blue Bills.
Jeez. He worked for that
Josh
one.
Josh Allen is going to come today.
Not bad.
Yeah. Well,
you know. Well played, 774.
Not too bad.
Yep. Keith mentioned it early in the show from the 207. Josh Herman Boone McDaniels. I run six plays, split veer, like Novocaine. Just give it time. It always works.
Three to the right, three to the left, and we run them perfectly. And it was funny. Remember the Titans was trending on Twitter today, and I was convinced it had to do with the Patriots. It
had
didn't.
To.
It was like some movie thing. It was like one of those like eliminate two type of things or whatever. But yeah, that was the offense last night, and it worked.
We heard from George in the truck who lives on a boat.
Yes,
from the 603. I waited all day to watch the game. I lost power in the middle of the first quarter. I went to start the generator, and the battery was dead. Jump started it with my truck. Watch Sean McDermott poop his pants like John Anderson. What a night.
That is
yes,
great.
Working that in there, too.
How about that, too?
Yeah.
Well, I went to my truck to jump it. That's a man right there.
You did.
John, have you ever used jumper cables in your life?
I mean, I know how to.
Okay, thank you.
I do love how the caller called in and was like, yeah, my cable had been out. I had to rig up something. Like, didn't gave us the whole lead up. Like, I live on a boat. And I can't normally watch the games. Like, all right.
Had to arrange the bunny ears.
Like, where's this going? He's like, but I was able to get the game last night. Like, okay, and apparently he enjoyed the game.
What do you do if you're in a van down by the river?
I don't know. You try to wire something. I think you got to get bootlegged.
Send Whitey up on the roof with a clothes hanger.
That
Gresh.
Could be.
Where's River Dave? He's got that figured out,
River
I'm
Dave,
sure.
He's got to be watching the game.
We checked on him.
Big game.
Yeah, I know. We need a Q check on, a check on
an
River
on
Dave.
That.
From the 860, I actually hate the Patriots. I'm a Dolphins fan, but you guys have me cracking up today. Picturing the Bills coach tripping on his own pants still has me laughing.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Just right to midfield, pants, bare right. bottom spank, and he's with the pants trying to run away.
It's brutal because the natural reaction after somebody pantses you would be to chase after them. However, you need to pull your pants up first. Otherwise, you're just asking for trouble.
Well, if any of his defensive players are out there, they can't tackle him.
No,
they couldn't
miss
tackle
him.
Anything else.
They'd
so.
Whiff.
Another 774 text for you. Patriots offense last night was like Mo Rivera's cutter. They did the exact same thing 90% of the time, and nobody could do anything about it.
That's another
That's
good
a
one.
Great analogy.
I refer to it as the Larry Bird left-handed game. But, yeah, Rivera's a good one. The greatest closer of all time, essentially threw one pitch. And you're like, here comes the cutter, and my bat broke. So, yeah, that's a good one.
From the 401, when the Buffalo Bills step out into the cold, nothing happens but the obvious, shrinkage.
No doubt.
Shrinkage.
Button on a fur coat.
Mm-hmm. It was a cold night in Buffalo. A lot of cold nights
Do women Buffalo. Know about shrinkage?
I think at this point they must.
I think women know about shrinkage.
Gresh,
well, that's why these people have to fornicate in the parking lot before it gets too cold up there,
yeah.
Because otherwise...
Gotta warm it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Warmest they've been.
Shrinky dinky go winky winky.
You mean shrinkage?
Yes!
Well, Gresh, a lot of people on the text line today agreed these Bills fans' tears taste so delicious.
Oh, it just went down so good.
Well, and they probably had hyped themselves up the most for this one, right? Mm-hmm. Now, last year, probably, but when you're in the playoffs, like, I think going up against the Patriots just meant so much more to them than even the run they had last year. And they're like, this is it. Finally, a fair fight. It's been 20 years since the Lawyer Malloy game. It's like, was it 19, 18, 19 years?
Yeah,
since there's been a fair fight. And you lost at home.
In a weather game. Which is what you want.
Correct.
The final text for you guys from the 401. It is official. The hate for the Bills is alive and well. Thank you, Sean McDermott. But now, boys, it all goes away if the Bills come into Foxborough and win.
I kind of disagree on that.
We'll see about that. There's some other games still at stake. Next week, you have Bills and Bucks on Sunday. So that's going to be a must-watch type of game.
Yeah, the Bills got to get to Gillette in a position to still be, you know, in it for the division title, quite honestly. Because this game against Tampa Bay, don't you come away from last night, Keith, feeling Brady's going to just put one on him?
Yeah, I do. They're going to go from allowing 220 on the ground to 340 in the air.
340 in the air and a couple touchdowns and Gronk.
Because now, not having Tre'Davious White against the Patriots is one thing. Against the Bucs is altogether different. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, those guys could have a pretty good big
game. You know, now that you think of it, if you really, truly want to double down on torturing Bills fans,
yeah,
it would be Brady to Gronk for two. And then Len Fournette runs for a couple.
Lenny Fournette probably could.
Bills fans wouldn't know what to do. It'd be the ghost of Patriots past.
But you know what? The other thing is, too, and Bills fans wouldn't want to hear this, but in all reality, there's also a chance, depending on how things go, that Buffalo isn't even the top rival for the Pats. That's another thing where, because you got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They've already won a Super Bowl. John Harbaugh has always been sort of a thorn in the side. I know the Patriots have beaten him, but he's also beaten them. Mike Vrabel is a great sort of mano-a-mano kind of rival there. So there are other teams in the AFC that could also jump ahead of the Bills this year.
Great stuff today. A lot of fun. Love it that we're able to just pound on the Bills and their fans. It's been great. Mac Jones comes up at 2:30 with Marloni and Foyer. Tomorrow, we are week 14 stayaways. We'll talk football with Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston. And it is a What If Wednesday. Plus, we'll have some Celtics Lakers to talk. And who knows, maybe we'll just feel like making the Bills suffer for one more day.
Why not?
John and Shine produced it. If something went wrong, blame them. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Marloni and Foyer are next.
This should be fun.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.